بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are living through some completely unprecedented times. I cannot recall any situation which was like what we are living through today as far as this corona pandemic is concerned. We saw many such things. We saw SARS and Ebola and swine flu and bird flu and God knows what. But there was never the kind of panic, and there were never the doomsday predictions that we are seeing, and the resultant fear in people, the resultant anxieties, and so on. The behavior of people, for example, the issues of toilet paper and panic buying. And one of my friends from Australia sent me this a video of a store. There are policemen walking in the toilet paper aisles of shops. Similarly, the countries, entire country shutting down, Spain and Italy, the Philippines. One of our friends from Philippines said that there is curfew in the night. Every night there's curfew. The only people on the street are the police. You can't go to any place except to a bank or to a hospital. Stores, everything is closed. There's no transportation. There's no Uber, no public transportation or anything. So the only way you can go anywhere is walk. Because if you take your car out, the police will again catch you. If you are caught what is called loitering, and obviously the police officer decides if you are loitering or not loitering, then there is a $1,000 fine plus 6 months imprisonment if you do that. Now, all these restrictions seem to be draconian. But two things about them. One is that no matter where you live, be prepared for similar things to happen in your country, because they're going to happen. And no matter how tough it seems, it looks like just now this is the only solution that we have to containing the effect of this pandemic, to prevent it from or slow down its spread. I was reading an article about the difference in response or difference in the fatalities between Korea and Italy. And this person says that the reason for it is because in Korea, the lockdown happened much faster and was much stronger than it happened in Italy. So as a result of which, the number of deaths in Italy were thousands more than in Korea. So, be that as it may, and then of course the doomsday predictions, as I mentioned yesterday, I was reading one, the issue is that they all seem to sound very logical to somebody like me. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor and so on and so forth, but these things, they sound very logical. For example, one of them which made me also be a bit more concerned about this is the fact that he said that to develop a vaccine takes at least 14 months. Now, what's happened is that FDA has also relaxed its rules, so it seems. I mean, I'm not saying this definitely, but from what it seems, because yesterday or day before yesterday, they injected the vaccine into a lady, into a human being, without having first gone through animal trials. That's unprecedented. Again, they'd never do that. Any vaccine is first tested on mammals before it is brought to a human being for testing. Now, having injected the virus, they obviously have to wait to see what happens to that person, because if that person dies of the vaccine, then that vaccine can't be used. So they have to make absolutely certain that this vaccine is working, because you don't want the vaccine to kill people. And this person says that it is, so we are looking at a window of about 14 months. Plus, then the vaccine will have to go into production, and then after that into distribution, and then it has to reach various countries. So he says, give it another 3 to 4 months. So we're looking at a window of about 18 months before you will start seeing a vaccine on the market or in the hospitals. Now, what the pharma companies and the governments and so on do with all that? Will this vaccine be available free of cost, as it really should be, if you ask me? Or will you be compelled to buy it and pay for it? I have no idea. All of this remains to be seen. So we are looking at an extremely serious situation. Now, question is, what do we do? Meanwhile, the third aspect of this whole thing is thanks to the lockdowns, thanks to the work from home, many people have now, they are in a strange situation where when they used to go to work every day, now they are stuck at home. Maybe the spouses are getting on each other's nerves. Children are home the whole time. There's no school. So, the parents and children, everyone together at home, sounds like a very beautiful picture, and it should be, of beautiful bonding between parents and children. But more than likely, it's a case of, it's like lighting a fire under a pot. More than likely, it's causing a lot of tensions to a lot of people. Now, what must we do? Two things. First and foremost, the thing to reflect on is this. I was talking to, over these few days, I have been talking to various friends of mine. Some Hindu, some Christian, some Sikh. Without exception, every single one of them said, we need to turn to God. Every single one of them. We need to turn to God. And I'm listening to them and I'm thinking to myself, well, this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah said, we send them a small punishment before a big punishment so that they can turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that they can repent, so that they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so what must we do? Number one, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If this is what it takes to make us turn to Allah, then this is what it takes. This pandemic, we don't know that this is an adab. We can't say that definitively. Nobody is talking to God in that sense. So we don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. If it is, then believe me, we as human beings have been doing enough and more to attract it. The most haunting picture in my mind is the picture of that little Syrian girl who, before she died, she said, I am going to tell Allah all of this. I am going to tell Allah all of this. And subhanAllah, maybe Allah listened to her. I mean, Allah knows best. So the point is that if this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we definitely deserve it. I mean, as human beings, as people of this world, we are all culpable. I'm not saying equally culpable, but definitely we are culpable for what's happening in this world. And if you look at the enormous amount of oppression, the killings, the cruelty, the murders, whether it is ISIS or the war in Yemen or the war in Syria or what is happening to the Uyghurs in China, the Rohingyas in Myanmar. And the list is endless. It just goes on and on and on. So, and it's not my purpose here to list every place. The point I'm saying is that all of them is human beings oppressing other human beings, people being cruel and nasty to other people. And if this has attracted the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then subhanAllah, we deserve it. Now, the point is, we don't know for sure. What we know for sure is that there are two things, two ways to look at calamities. One is it a punishment from Allah, or is it a test for the righteous, for people who are good? Now, this depends on yourself. This depends on me. If I have, alhamdulillah, been living a clean life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, then inshallah, this is not a punishment for me, but it's a test. Now, what is this test? This test is to draw me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that bashara and good glad tidings and good news for the people who have sabr. The people who have sabr are the people who take all precautions, who do what should be done, and then who don't complain, and they have patience and fortitude. Allah said good news for them. Who are these people? These are the people who in a calamity, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi rajun. We were from Allah, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ulaika alayhim salawatun min rabbihim wa rahma. And surely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and on these people is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy. And these are the people who are rightly guided. So, inshallah, if we are, we need to look at ourselves. And if we are, have been living a clean life, nobody is perfect. I'm not looking at perfection. I'm saying simple way to look at it. Are you on Tawheed? Do you commit shirk? Do you commit bid'at? If you don't do that, then the next point is, do you fulfill your faraid? Do you pray on time? Do you fast? Do you give zakat? If you are eligible for hajj, have you done hajj and so on? So, do you fulfill the faraid? Number three, halal and haram. Is your income halal? Is your food halal? If it is not, you need to change that. So, number three. Number four is the issue of treatment of other people. Do you oppress people? Do you take away their rights? Do you swallow other people's property? What do you do with other people? And then the next is in terms of akhlaq, and the next is the muashara, which is your own practice of Islam. Look at all aspects of your own life to see, am I practicing Islam completely, or am I doing a partial job? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised punishment for those people who do a partial job. So, we don't want to fall into that trap. Selective obedience is disobedience. So, look at yourself and then say, if I look at myself and I say, okay, I'm doing all of these things, may not be perfect, my salah is not perfect and so on and so forth, but I'm praying. Do I pray on time, or do I just miss salah? I'm lazy, so I don't get up for Fajr. I just miss Zohar and so on. Do I do that? If I'm doing that, then I'm in serious trouble. But if I'm not doing that, my salah is, I'm praying on time, but maybe I don't go to the masjid for all the salawat. I go for some salah and the rest of it, others I don't go. Maybe the quality of my salah needs improvement. Well, join the club. Everybody is in the same boat. So therefore, inshallah al-musta'an, you are a good person, and this test has come to test you. What must we do? Behave with dignity, behave with nobility, say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, and make rujoo ila Allah, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make istighfar, make tawbah. If I am not in this lot, if I find that I miss salahs, if I find that I miss my Ramadan fast, if I find that I have not paid zakat, if I find that I am my income is haram, I have interest-based borrowings and things like this, or I have lent out money on interest. If I find that I am very lax about what I eat anything that moves, and most things that don't move. If I find that I am nasty to people, I scream, I yell, I shout, I abuse people, I curse people, worse still, I take away people's rights, I oppress people. If I do all of these things, then obviously the answer is, the obvious answer is, I need to change these things. I must stop doing all of this nonsense. I must correct my, I must clean up my act. I must get my income halal. I must make sure that I eat only that which is halal. And I must make sure that I fulfill all my faraid. If I am committing anything which has any sign of being shirk, I must leave it. There's no question of it. Absolutely, without a doubt, leave everything which is shirk. And then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in both cases, inshallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَبَشِّرِ السَّابِرِينَ, and Allah gave bashara to the sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them the muhtadun, the people who have hidayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. Rest of it in the next one, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of you, and to anyone who is infected, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them a complete and total cure, and keep everyone else safe from not only the infection but all the rest of the difficulties that we are foreseeing concerning this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.